If you enjoy the harrowing of Minerva Damson and want to join the Order of Joan in their fight against the monsters stalking the trenches, there are several ways you can support the war effort. Find us on Patreon and enlist, or donate to the Order on Acast. You can also connect with Order headquarters via Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Links can be found in our bio. The Harrowing of Minerva Damson is a horror podcast and contains descriptions of war that some may find graphic or disturbing. Listener discretion is advised.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, this is Jessica Linkhart, here to introduce the first season wrap-up, and to apologize. We are but three baby podcasting goblins, sharing one microphone, with three very needy pets, and three phones right next to the computer, which made a somewhat unpleasant, low crackling noise throughout. We deeply apologize and hope you'll stick around anyway to hear what we have to say. Thank you, and I guess we'll go ahead and get started here with... Oh no, my phone!
How unprofessional!
Ah!
How dare!
If you would, my darling, would you go give the boy, child,
to do. Yeah.
A rawhide?
Yeah.
Bribe him!
Would you want to,
Yeah, the set pets are speaking up.
But I am going to do some introductions first.
Of course.
So, hello, this is Jessica Linkhart.
And this is Jamie Sykes.
And Mitch Lewis.
And we are the team behind the Harrowing of Minerva Damson, and we are here to record our season wrap-up for season one. And you may, of course, notice that we are one short, and we... talked about doing the season wrap-up. We had intended to do it all together, the four of us, but Miranda passed away unexpectedly on October 29th, and we're still adjusting to that, but we still wanted to do this because, you know, we had a great time making this podcast, and I think... that we all agree that that's worth celebrating, and I think Miranda would have wanted to celebrate it. I think she was really excited for it, so we're going to go ahead and talk about it. And for the things that we do know she liked, or the answers that we kind of think we know to some of the things we're going to talk about, we'll go ahead and talk about them. Okay. So yeah, this is the season one wrap-up.
Yeah, we're here to be a bunch of talking heads.
Yeah.
Except, are we actually going to have visible heads in this conversation?
No.
Figuratively. You know.
Figurative.
Y'all can imagine it. You can check out our website at www.orderofjoanheadquarters.com, and you can find our faces there. Check it out today.
It just went live this morning.
Nice.
So she's very excited. Yes.
Yeah, well, you know. I try.
Okay, well, do we want to break out, like, what we each did first?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, well, you go first,
okay.
Mrs. Boss Lady.
So, I am Jessica Linkhart. I wrote, adapted, recorded, edited, produced, and directed the podcast.
It's her baby. And this is Jamie again. I like to think of myself as the Harrison Ford of this production. I started out as the set carpenter and then got pulled in to do some acting.
Mm-hmm.
And then me, I'm Mitchellis again. I was the guy that made all of the iconography and, like, I helped with the website building and I made the logo. And we struggled a whole bunch with that. It was a wonderful game.
We worked together
game.
On that.
It was a wonderful game of
and
ping pong.
And you contributed some bit voices.
Yes, you
yeah,
did. Don't forget that.
Oh, you're
so, yeah.
Would you want to explain what Panda had? Because I honestly can't remember what every single character
yeah.
She
well,
had.
She did a lot of them. So Miranda Samford, credited as Miranda Lewis, she was our voice actress, the other person who contributed the most to this podcast in a way that, like, listeners directly, mm-hmm. you know, could hear. And so she voiced the vampire at the very beginning, which was just fantastic. She was Captain Marks, Hodge, Swift, Cresswell,
right.
Briggs, Rydell, Elizabeth, one of the nurses in the final episode, and Magistra Bonza. I think that's all of them. Yeah. That's a lot.
We'll have to go back and make a full list. Of
yes.
That would probably be easiest to kind of visualize, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and actually, that's also on the website.
Take a look today.
Take a look today.
Shameless plugs away!
Yeah, so I guess where should we begin? At the beginning?
Sure. Okay. So, Mrs. Author, where did the idea for the podcast come from?
Well, it's funny you should ask. Uh-huh. So, The Harrowing of Minerva Damson is adapted from a novella that I wrote that was actually meant to be sort of a supplemental material to a larger novel that I have written.
Novel
that
all
is,
the way
yeah,
layers.
That is based in the same world, although it takes place in the 1920s. It's called First Degree Magic. I am trying to get it published, but you know, the publishing industry and process is incredibly slow, and there have been a lot of complicating issues, a lot of factors that make it an even slower process than it usually is, that have sort of come about in the last, 2 years, / especially since the pandemic started. So
everything changed.
Yeah.
When the pandemic happened.
Everything changed when the pandemic attacked. So basically, you know, I've been querying First Degree Magic, and you know, it's been a super slow process, and there's really not much I can do to push it forward right now, and so that was just kind of driving me nuts. And one day Jamie and I went out to get some drinks, and I was feeling sorry for myself, and and he was like, you know, maybe you have that novella, right? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, and you know, you have some recording equipment, right? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, oh, why don't you make a podcast? And I was like, yeah.
Galaxy brain.
Boom. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what happened. And then, like, in 6 weeks, I threw everything together and we started recording. So I suppose that's the short version of how this sort of began. And then we sort of, like, started pulling other people in. I enlisted Jamie to make the sound booth, which we call the goblin booth. I was then like, hey, Mitch, you're a graphic designer and I know you and we're friends.
What?
Can you give me a hand with some of this stuff? And then I was talking with Mitch and Miranda one day about, like, yeah, I didn't really intend to, you know, when I wrote this novella, I didn't think I'd be, like, you know,
using my
mouth parts to make accents. And I was really worried about my British accents. And then I was like, hey, Miranda, you've always wanted to do voice work, right? How's your British accent? And she just, like, immediately, you know,
fell into it.
So, was like, gave me, like, five different accents.
So,
hold on.
Oh, boy, baby.
So, fun fact about Miranda's talents. I actually am her fiancé. And so I know a little bit about her here and there, you know. So, she developed her British accents solely because she was enamored with Doctor Who. Especially the runs with David Tennant and Matt Smith. Matt, that was the other one. And so she, like, would spend hours and hours and hours a day watching Doctor Who, and then eventually it just came naturally to her.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I guess from Doctor Who, like, she got into other BBC shows too.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, she just immediately dropped into these accents, and I was like, hey, you're hired. and I was like, can you start next week?
She's like, yes, I would.
I can, yeah. So I think, like, that's kind of how we pulled this little motley crew together. This
ragtag crew.
Yeah.
Friends and allies across the world.
Yeah.
Well, it also helps that we've all known each other for God knows how long at this point.
Well, let's see here. We met in 2012?
Yeah.
No, 2008.
Mitch and Jamie have known each other since...
Well, we've known each other forever.
College. But... and I've known Jamie and Mitch since 2012, and Miranda joined our little crew in
2015.
I think it was 2017, because we were still in that shitty old apartment we used
to. Yeah!
We shortly thereafter started our D&D campaign
yes,
together.
Yes.
So,
which is where we first discovered Miranda's voice acting
and
talent.
Amazing talent, and just... stunning, shining personality.
She just melded into her character so well that we're like, oh god.
Yeah.
What is this beast that you have unlocked?
I was the DM for this campaign, and her character that she brought to the table was a 7-foot-tall, muscle-bound, naked shark man, and somehow she managed to embody that perfectly. So, she was definitely the most memeable character of that campaign.
Oh god, yeah.
Okay, such quotes as, I can't punch space!
And I'm not naked, I'm wearing a tie.
Yes. So we've been, you know, together and friends and doing kind of creative things together for quite a while, but I think this was kind of the first project that the four of us got together and started kind of working on in earnest. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. So...
yeah.
So I guess, like... okay, I'm looking. I have these like questions that's like, you know, lest anybody think I'm actually like very organized. I'm definitely not.
Yes.
It's like I've got some questions that I just kind of wrote down on a scrap of paper. So
it's a calendar. At least it has organizational lines and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
You know, it gives the semblance of being organized, which is.
Well, she also wrote in cursive, like really, really nice cursive. Like, I can actually read this stuff.
Wow, thanks. Yeah, so, you know, I try to be organized. It's usually just the thin veneer, like the aesthetics of being organized. It's really just chaos barely contained.
Speaking as husband, that's accurate.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. This is a good one. Favorite parts about making the podcast?
Honestly, just getting to listen to the finished product. Like, I was consistently surprised with how good it turned out. So it was fun to just hear what came out.
Yeah. It just kind of makes me think of, like, I don't know that much about podcasting, actually. And I don't listen. I listen to a few podcasts and sporadically. But after... Jamie suggested making a podcast. The next day, I, like, you know, Jamie went to work, I was at home, and I just, like, recorded on this really cheap-ass, like, $20 Amazon microphone.
Which sounded like a $20 Amazon.
Yeah, it sounded like it. The first 10 minutes of the first episode, and I just kind of played around on Audacity, because I had that for other reasons
Hashtag not sponsored.
Yeah, not no, not sponsored, but
not sponsored by anyone yet.
No, but if you want me to, if you want to sponsor us, please get in touch.
There's a contact form.
Go to www.orderofjoanheadquarters.com and get a hold of us. And I just sort of like threw something together and let Jamie listen to it because he listens to like way more podcasts than I do, and he was just like, wow, babe, like, it's, you know, kind of rough, but this is actually really good. So I was like, really? And I guess my favorite part, it was rigorous, but putting together all the, like, the sound effects and sound cues and kind of, like, bringing the environment to life, that was really, really satisfying. Anyway, what about you, Mitch?
So my favorite moment was I was over here. I hadn't honestly partook too terribly much with the voice acting. And I was just sitting here just on the sofa, just minding my own business, you know, listening to Jess and Panda just, you know, go at it in the booth. And then they came out and they're like, listen to this! And, like, that instance, like, it was a small snippet of episode one. And, like, whenever the vampire came into, I guess, fruition, Panda just exclaimed, "Yes! I sound so spoopy!" Yeah! And she just kind of gremlin rolled all over the floor, and it was precious.
Yeah.
And just that, I guess, just seeing her so just amazed that she was able to do something so cool and, like, so passionate about it, it really made me happy. And I'm like, yes, do this more.
Yeah.
This is nice.
Well, and it was infectious, too, because
I think
that enthusiasm sort of poured over to the rest of us.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So do you think that was her favorite part, maybe? Is, like,
just getting to be part of it and, like, understanding, like, I can do cool stuff.
Yeah, that... She really was truly infectious, and I loved getting to work with her. So I think we worked pretty well together. So that was really great to do. All right, well, how about least favorite parts?
Making the booth.
Yeah.
So I was on a surprise deadline for this, where she caught a wild hair that
Kitty.
Okay.
Baby.
My least favorite part was actually managing the animals in the background and making sure they didn't ruin the recordings. but second to that, so the Goblin Booth, as we affectionately refer to it, needed to be finished like on a Sunday before a long work week. And I had to basically dump 10 hours at a stretch on it with literal blood, sweat, and tears on this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But, hey, it's served us well.
It has, yeah.
Your sacrifice has been well documented.
Yes. Clearly, the success of this is due to the blood sacrifice.
Yes, clearly. Isn't that what everybody does?
Oh, mm-hmm. Obvious.
Yeah, you know, yeah, talking about the animals, you know, we have two dogs and a cat, and they very much want attention. So
At all times.
So it was pretty tricky to record around them. I had to, like, wait till they're, like, nap time. And then,
you know,
and then
like
try
children.
To... Yeah, like children. and then record. And, you know, also, too, like, we live kind of close to an airport and kind of close to a hospital. So
and
they're...
kind of close to retiree neighborhoods that like to mow their lawns
at
10 a.m.
Yes, that like to mow their lawns at 10 a.m. So it was also just kind of this moving target of, like, all of these noises that I had to kind of, like, try to record around and not get into the actual recording. So, but I'm trying to think if there's another, like, least favorite part of the process. And I don't know, I guess for me, maybe it was just the, I both loved and hated recording the, like, main narration because I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I really had to let that go. And I ended up having to, like, record a lot of these episodes, like, two or three or even four times and then kind of like go between all the recordings and try to like harvest the things that I liked best. And that was really, really time consuming. And also trying to like fit the voiced parts in. And if I changed anything, you know, upstream or downstream, having to like readjust all the timings. I'm sure there's a way around that, but I haven't figured it out yet. I am just kind of doing, I'm just kind of learning as I go. So I think that was probably the most frustrating part for me. But yeah, so that's me.
So I, mind you, I did like the artwork and all that good junk, but still, I'm going to keep on theme here, and I'm going to complain about the Goblin Booth. I only had just a few lines. However, there is no airflow in this Goblin Booth at all. It is cramped. It is just...
I had one day to design it.
Yeah. In Jamie's defense, he had one day.
I mean, that's not your fault, the fact that there's no airflow in it.
Well, like, and it also had to, like, fit in this tiny little nook area. That's, like, basically as wide as my desk. So there was no airflow. There was, like, no space. I was in the booth whenever anybody else came in to record, too, and it became very cramped very fast. And,
very,
you know, everybody's
warm.
Very warm. And, yeah, yeah. We still only have one microphone, by the way, so...
We're all, like,
crouched around it right now and just... Lest anybody be misled, we are, we have a pretty, you know, bare bones equipment. So yeah, it's just picture us, the three of us, sitting at a dining room table, all just sort of, you know, hunched in around this microphone, the one microphone we have.
To rule them all.
Yeah.
We are very good friends.
Yes. Yeah. personal space is not really a thing right now.
We can't afford it.
No, we can't afford it. Not yet. Not yet. But hopefully. Hopefully at some point.
Support us on Patreon.
Yeah. Yes, please. And if you are a member of our Patreon, we will also list you on our website. It's cool. Go check it out.
I made the icons.
Yeah. Okay. Most challenging part. Typically, like, I mean, you know, most people don't like group work, right? And there's a reason for that because, you know, in school, a lot of the time there's like people who just kind of like don't do their part. So for a very, very long time, I've been pretty much just like, if I have a project I want to work on, I kind of just do it by myself. But this project actually provided the opportunity for me to work with other people and people that I trusted and could depend upon. And that was actually really nice. And learning how to like work with and particularly direct Miranda and Mitch and Jamie whenever they did voice acting was really cool. It was challenging, but it was gratifying.
Yeah, I had the... I guess the pleasure of having her say, not as hammy. She said this to me at least four or five times. Mom, do you only have, like, two parts? So...
Yeah. Yeah, there definitely is a place for hamminess. Unfortunately, my universe, which we're calling it the ordinal timeline, is mostly... serious with just a hint of humor, which is very opposite of how Jamie and Mitch normally work. They're like kind of the other way around, like lots of humor with like a dash of terror.
We're dipshits.
Yeah. So this is kind of like an adjustment for them. But like the wonderful thing is that we can talk about it and adjust, and we got it. We got it, team.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and join Mitch in saying that the most challenging part for me, putting the Goblin Booth aside, was probably voice acting. I was not very experienced with it, and we ended up going through that big stretch of the Lieutenant Colonel a line at a time, trying to get the tone correct.
Yes.
And also trying to maintain an accent.
Yeah. Well, and everybody required a very different approach to, like, directing y'all. Like, I had to handle you all kind of a little bit differently. So that was also kind of a learning curve.
Something, something hurting cats.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Why World War One?
Oh, well, okay. So the novel that I've written, First Degree Magic, is based in the 1920s in this alternate timeline. But a lot of the really important stuff that kind of sets up everything for what's happening in the 1920s setting has its, like, roots in World War One. And I just think World War One's really interesting in general. It's kind of overlooked, particularly in the American education system. It's mostly just like, you gotta know a little bit about World War One so we can get on to talking about World War Two. But World War One is a really interesting part of history. It is sort of like the Civil War began the shift to modern warfare, and World War One was kind of where that shift solidified, just fully getting away from, like, cavalry and swords and, like, old kinds of warfare. And
but those were still there.
They were still there in World War One, but that's kind of where they ended. You know, that was the end of the transition. So I find that period of time, and there's also just, like, all kinds of, like, social things that were happening around that time period globally, that, you know, just there were these huge radical shifts happening. So I've always found that time period really interesting anyway. And yeah, like, it plays directly into First Degree Magic, my book. And whenever I was thinking about ways to kind of, I didn't intend to release any version of Minnie's story first. I always thought that First Degree Magic would be released first, and then I'd have all these, like, supplemental materials to kind of help people get a greater, broader view of the world. But that's not how it worked out. This came first. But it does give you some, like, context, and kind of helps introduce you to the ordinal timeline, this alternate world. That was kind of a long-winded way of explaining that. Does that kind of answer your question, do you think?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Well, yeah.
And I feel like it bears saying that, like, we saw 1917 in theaters, and I think that really opened our eyes to kind of the storytelling potential of the trenches.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, because I started writing First Degree Magic in...
This is specifically for Minnie's part.
Yeah, in late 2018, early 2019. But,
Pardon the horrible dog sound.
Yeah, the dogs are rioting. They're upset that we're not giving them attention.
Mortal dog bat!
Mortal dog bat!
Thump, 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 thump.
So I was already thinking a lot about World War One, but yes, between seeing 1917 and a few other things, I had already kind of started thinking about writing a story centered around a character called Minnie Damson, and I knew it would be in World War One. But 1917 kind of, you know, got the old noggin working, and produced what is now the first season of The Harrowing of Minerva Damson, which, when it was a novella, was titled Knight of the Unquiet Dead. But, like, you know, like a knight with a shield. A sword and shield. That kind of knight. A chivalric knight. It's a play on words. It's a pun.
But I think that's actually a great transition to one of our other questions of Knight of the Unquiet Dead is season one. What's next?
Well, I have a second... I have three or four more novellas sort of, like, plotted out in my mind. And so the second season will kind of begin this larger arc. The season one kind of is its own sort of self-contained arc. But seasons two through, you know, whatever, like five or whatever, they are all going to, they're going to have like sort of mini arcs of their own, but they're all going to kind of follow Minnie as she searches for the Beast of Jevedon. I mean, that's kind of where we're going next, I guess.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Who was your favorite character and why?
Well, I think the creatrix here should probably answer first.
Well, as I wrote them all, so, you know, I like all of them for different reasons, but I think
pick
that
your favorite child.
Other than Minnie, who is sort of like the main character, I kind of think that my favorite character is Swift. I don't know. He's just like, he's so solid. He's such a good guy, you know. He's just like, I don't know. He's there.
I know for a fact that Swift was Panda's favorite.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
100%.
Swift was Panda's favorite, and she dialed in on him immediately. And she also really liked Briggs, too. He was another one that just kind of, like, you know, she didn't even have to, like, really search for the character. It just kind of came out. So, Swift probably is my favorite.
So, mine would probably, I don't know his name, because I can't remember names worth to save my life. But the Scotsman.
Rydell, yeah.
Rydell.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely loved Rydell. He was only in there for, what, 2 episodes?
Yeah, like,
but
barely 2.
For me, he stole the show. Mostly because I really enjoy the fact of, like, imagining Panda in a kilt. And just going to town on people. I think that is by far the coolest thing I could ever imagine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, and I think we can all recognize that Rydell brings some serious DILF energy to the table. I'm just saying.
I mean, yeah, I suppose, yes. Well, who is your favorite, Ben?
Okay, well, I honestly really like the cat.
Oh.
just because I have some foreknowledge of the cat, but
yeah.
Even just standing on its own, just that weaving through the season has been a lot of fun to watch, but I always have a soft spot for crazy old magic ladies. So
I knew you were going to say that.
No,
I knew
Elizabeth.
It.
Elizabeth is probably my favorite.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, actually, I want to, like, you know, also add, I really love the vampire. Like, the vampire you know, obviously just totally and completely evil. But just so much fun.
Someone you love to hate.
Yeah, he was fun to write. He was fun to, you know, to kind of, like, help Miranda find, and, you know, bring to life.
Well, and it's really what made episode one kind of its own, like, own self-contained story.
Yes.
Like, you could just listen to episode one of this, and it's a completely told story. Keep listening, though.
Yes, yeah, please do. But episode one is probably still, in many ways, my favorite one, because it is so, like, it's self-contained. And honestly, okay, guys, like, full disclosure, I'm not good at writing short stuff. I'm not good at writing short fiction. Novellas are kind of a new territory for me. Most of the other stuff that I write is pretty thick. I wouldn't say necessarily a doorstop, but it is definitely longer than what is, like, conventionally... What you know, in the conventional word count limits of the genre that I'm working in. So the fact that episode one works so well as its own, like, self-contained little story arc is just, like, whoa, like a triumph for me. Like, I've never done that before.
Well, would you say that that's what surprised you most about putting this all together, or?
Maybe. Well, I mean, because that, I don't know if I count that in the podcast stuff, because I was like, That's more like I was surprised about that with the novella, on the novella side. On the podcast side, what surprised me most was, A, how much I enjoyed it, and B, how much I found kind of intuitive. I thought that it would be a lot harder to figure out how to do all the things that needed to be done to make this into, like, a show. But it all just kind of came together, and whenever I started fiddling with things, I just kind of figured things out really fast, and I wasn't expecting that, and I was very pleasantly surprised by it. So, yeah. And also how, like, y'all just, like, threw your weight in behind me, and you were like, oh, you want to do this? Okay, we're doing it. And I was like, thanks, guys.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what about you, Mitch? What surprised you most?
Well, I think what surprised me most was the fact that it's actually out, and, like, it's out.
It's
there.
It exists.
It's
a thing.
It's real?
It real.
People we don't know listen to it.
It's real. It's like a real thing. We produce something, and it's content.
You made this. We made this.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wow. Oh my god, we did it. We did it, guys. What about you, babe? Well, or Jamie. I should say Jamie so that people know who I'm talking to.
Everybody is referred to as babe.
Yes, everyone is babe. But no, honestly, the thing that surprised me most is how quickly you, specifically Jess, were able to put it together. I was really impressed with that. Because previously, like, you had done some recording, making, like, an audiobook version of your novel.
Yeah, I did that so that Mitch, who doesn't have a lot of time to, like, sit down and read things, could listen to my manuscript.
See, what she actually isn't really saying is the fact that I read at the very, very slow speed at a mighty glacier. It will take me months and months and months, maybe even a year, to read a novel, and I appreciate every effort that you gave me to get through your stuff.
But honestly, that was really the only experience she had in audio medium, and when she showed me the outline of episode one, I was just like, where did this come from? So, like, I was already fully behind the idea of making this into a podcast, but that's what made me really think, like, this could really be something.
a podcast made essentially like Athena, sprung forth from her head.
Oh, fully formed.
Wow! That's super cool. I like that.
Well, you like ladies with swords. So.
I do. Yeah. I do. I made a whole universe.
About ladies
about
with swords.
About ladies with swords. okay, so I think this is a good time to talk about lessons for next season.
Yes.
You
start us off.
So, okay. Obviously, I just kind of ended up... I had all these different parts laying around, and I just threw them together, and we ended up with a, you know, a whole season of a podcast. But I need to be more organized going forward from here, and I'd like to be a little bit further ahead of schedule. I think that I have a better sense for how to edit things and how to do it quickly. And God, I know there's something else that I'm not thinking of that I knew was like, oh, I need to remember this for next season, but head empty.
See, she keeps bringing up this whole notion that she's unorganized. You guys aren't actually privy to her Monday page. It is ridiculous.
Well, I'm trying. I'm really trying to impose order on sheer chaos. But yeah, I mean...
Also not sponsored.
Yes, yeah. But yeah, I think that I would just like to be a little more organized and to have a little bit more lead time and to kind of realize what my limits are, because I also do get into a hyper-focus state where I will just work for hours and hours and hours, and I do not have any ergonomical equipment, so I just freaking wreck my back and forget all of my needs. And I need to, I think, kind of in the next season, hopefully, like, meter out my energy and my efforts more so I don't just, like, you know, wreck myself and burn out. So, yeah.
Pacing,
yes. And what about you guys?
Lessons for next season. I guess it just kind of depends, because I was kind of a little bit of a dark horse here and there. And so, like, I guess my expectations would be to try and be more flexible for your needs, because, you know, you kind of need to fill in a couple of more roles, probably.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be really, really difficult trying to restructure, like, take a step back, realize, okay, this is what needs to happen now, and then just kind of assist you wherever you need me.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, you kind of took my answer a little bit. The two guys here were kind of more support staff than anything else this season. But I think one thing that I took away is how to take better direction. Because voice acting was a challenge. And being able to, like, sort of internalize and figure out, like, what is needed, how to, like, interpret directions and things like that. That's something that I'll be better at next time, I hope.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we'll work on that. What are we looking forward to next season? Well, my answer has kind of changed a bit, because it really was, like, it was working with everybody, but also getting to work with Miranda more, because we were going to do a lot. I hadn't originally intended on having a voice actress, but Miranda brought so much energy and life to the project that I was really, really excited to work with her going forward. But
I think it's without saying that all of us were.
Yeah, we all were.
It's kind of, yeah.
We're still adjusting to that.
Yeah. But if... Okay, so... Now, what I'm looking forward to is... You know, there are a lot of opportunities. Like, I have had this whole world cooking up in my brain for a few years now. And I have so much to share. And so I am looking forward to getting to share more of that. getting to really explore not only like Minnie's immediate environment, but also just the timeline in general, using the podcast as a vehicle for that. I am looking forward to that.
Well, I'm looking forward to having more parts.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, that's basically it, because I honestly, like, it's weird, because I don't typically like the sound of my voice.
Yeah, you know what, honestly, I don't either, but something about this magic microphone...
It's magical.
It is, it makes you, it turns you from having, like, a weird nasally voice that you don't like into, like, I sound like a professional podcaster right now.
That is a nice sophistication voice.
Thank you.
We need to channel our NPR newscaster yes. voice.
Also not sponsored.
Yes, not sponsored.
Let's just go ahead and make a blanket statement that we are not sponsored
by anybody
currently.
We are doing this just out of, you know.
Love.
Love, yes. But money would be great.
Yeah,
we'd love
also
it.
Money.
We would love it.
Well, what I'm looking forward to in the next season is, honestly, it's seeing more of the cat, because I have some behind-the-scenes knowledge of where that's going, and
it's going to be fun, everybody. The cat came back the very next season.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually am really excited for that, too.
Yes,
I have such plans.
Honestly, it is my dream to have merch of the cat.
Oh my god, yes.
Eldritch
We're working
cat,
on
Eldritch
it.
Eldritch cat plushie.
Yes.
Eldritch cat plushie.
We're working on merch. Stay tuned. Watch our website and our social media. Support us on Patreon.
So, if you guys have an idea as to what would be good merch ideas, you could also provide that.
Yeah, please let us know what you would like to see and what you would like to buy. We would really love to know, and we're really excited about getting to, you know, design those things for you.
I'm a magician. I can make things happen.
Exactly. okay, I think we have two more things. All right, so, yeah, our plans for our off-season. I have a lot. I'm hoping I can keep up, but I'm going to be putting a lot of stuff on. This is really the time that I'm going to start focusing on social media and also kind of, you know, bolstering all the additional, like, lore and world building things that I can't kind of fit in the podcast, but are, you know, pretty cool to kind of discover and explore. I'm going to be putting a lot of stuff on Patreon and social media that really fleshes that out. So, you know, watch our social media, maybe join our Patreon. We're going to have, you know, Q&A sessions. We're going to, like, sort of release a bunch of documents from the, like, Order of Joan archives that will kind of help explain some things about the world in a hopefully pretty organic way. And we're also going to have bonus episodes, and we're even going to be making a couple of, at least one, but maybe a couple of sort of costumes to sort of show you guys what a Knight of the Order of Joan would look like. And the first one that's coming up is a Knight of the Order of Joan from, like, the 15th century, kind of at their genesis. So yeah, we're going to have a lot of really cool stuff in the off season. And we're also going to have some, like, maybe we might put up like a bloopers episode or, you know, do more of this kind of stuff. So
stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. We are actually going to be quite active during the off season. So yeah, and let's see, what else? What else are you working on? I think this is an excellent question for the boys.
Would you like to start, or shall I?
Well, I think we're kind of both working on the same stuff in some ways.
So to speak. So, would you go, or would I go?
I'll go, fine.
I mean, you're the business
Mr. Businessman.
Yeah. Okay, business, numbers. So, me and Mitch and our buddy Thomas are all working on designing board games on the side. Mythematic.com.
Actually sponsored, because those are us.
Oh, but wait, should you be paying me? I guess you've been paying me in labor.
Labor.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. We get a free spot on this.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we really like to design board games. We've got a really fun dungeon crawler called Plunderheads that's really close to being finished.
Let's see, we also have Gene Shuffle, which is still in the bakery. I mean, it's almost done. It's almost to a point of beta testing it.
And then we have Forest Fellers, which is this really cute little game that Mitch farted out in like a day that is essentially in a finished state already.
Yeah. It was a wonderful day trying to gather that thing up.
And, you know, you guys also have social media. We'll try to put links to their social media so you can, like, if you're interested, if you also love board games, you can check them out. And also on the Order of Joan headquarters website, on the team page under Mitch's sort of profile, I have a link to his website. So you can also kind of check it out there, because I believe he does have some art assets from Plunderheads on there. Some, like,
somewhere in there, yeah.
Some pictures, yeah, to kind of give you an idea.
But also, he does freelance graphic design.
Yes.
I do. Please help me work.
Yeah. So, and I guess, like, for me, what else am I working on? In addition to the podcast and the off-season stuff, I'm continuing to work on my series, and I am continuing to query my book. And, you know, if you are an agent and you're out there listening, please do, you know, reach out if you are interested in kind of seeing what that's about. And yeah, and I'm going to continue working on kind of all those related things.
We've kind of come to the end of the written down questions.
Yeah, I think that's kind of it. Do you guys have any other closing thoughts or?
Not terribly.
This was fun. It was, yeah, it was, absolutely. It was honestly a joy to watch this all come together.
Yeah.
Just weird, crazy chaos turning into this pillar.
Actual thing.
Of awesome thing.
Yeah. A thing that's real and out in the world for you.
So if ever you come across some questions that you might have for any of us, be sure to...
Be sure to reach out on our social media, any of our social media platforms, or on our website. We would love to hear your questions. Genuinely, truly, please, you know, get in contact with us. Yeah.
Just don't ask me about world building.
No, ask me about world building. Oh my God, please.
She'll keep you busy.
Yeah. And like I said, we are hoping to do some pre-recorded monthly AMAs. So if you send me your questions, I will compile them and we'll get together and we will answer those questions and send them back out into the world for you.
Just how plushy is the cat?
Oh.
Yet to be determined.
Excellent question. But yeah, you know, thank you for listening. We are so excited to be able to put this out into the world and to, you know, put this out there for you. And we're just really, honestly, humbled and honored to have listeners. So a huge thank you. And we hope you stick around for the off-season content. We hope you come back around for season 2. And we would love to get to know you.
Getting to know all about you.
Number by Mitch Lewis. That'll also be on... Oh yeah. If you want more of that, we can make a whole episode for our bonus episode.
Mixtape.
Mixtape.
See, I was going to go for musical episode.
Because
every series eventually descends into musical episode.
God,
and why not just do it sooner than later? Actually, I have a plot point planned that might actually be possible. So,
yes.
You know, stay tuned for that.
We're going to have fun here. So,
yeah.
Already having fun here.
So does that wrap up the wrap up?
I think that wraps up the wrap up. And wrap up. So stick around. Reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. And, you know.
Yeah.
We're having fun so you can have fun.
Yes. Thank you.
And be sure to always live your brightest life.
Yes.
Don't sparkle. Shine.
Shine, baby, shine.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The Harrowing of Minerva Tamsin and its related stories are written, narrated, and produced by Jessica Linkhart, and features additional voice work by Miranda Lewis, Claire Miller, and Jamie Sykes. Art assets done in collaboration with Mitch Lewis. Thank you for listening. Our tale will continue next week.